don't just meet the meat, right? Make it productive, make it aligned with what you're trying to accomplish. And yes, you're getting the engagement results because you're bringing people together and they're developing deeper relationships with each other. But now you're also getting performance results that align with where the company needs to go and what you're trying to do and accomplish.
Hey, it's Nikki Llewellyn Gregory, and you're on Gut Plus Science. You're in for a fast-paced, storytelling, action item-rich leadership growth experience. I hope you make this podcast a habit. I consider it a leadership mentoring tool. Learning together makes us better together, and that is how we change the world around us. Let's get to it. Hey, friends, this conversation on Gut Plus Science is long overdue, but I trust in the perfection of the timing. Zach Doms is with me today. He's a culture strategist and employee experience expert who thrives in efforts that transform workplaces with innovative, meaningful people strategies that lead the future of work. Zach, I want to talk to you today about something that I know you're passionate about. So, of course, we're going to lean into the passion. And I want to break down peer-to-peer learning and the power of it. And so welcome to the show. First, let's break this down by talking about what is peer learning and the different types.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a passion focus of mine, and I've found it to be extremely incredible in my own life, and it's amazing to see it show up in organizations as well. So I guess just for starters, on just a few examples on what this starts to look like internally at different companies. I mean, there's all different sorts of different types of peer learning communities that companies can build, and it can show up in many different ways depending on what you're looking to achieve and accomplish. And some of it could even look like mentorship programs and peer-to-peer coaching. And you all think about those mastermind experiences that maybe you've been in your own life. Well, those can show up internally as well. You also think about cross-functional exchange opportunities and job swapping and ways that people can build more awareness of the different roles throughout the organization. You also think about more of those hierarchy type exchange opportunities. I've even heard of some companies launching these shadow boards where, you know, younger generations or lower, you know, entry level employees get to act as a shadow board to executives. And now you have this type of hierarchy, but also generational exchange coming. So these are all really amazing examples of peer-to-peer learning and exchange opportunities that help foster the exchange of ideas, innovative new thoughts, or problem solving, or mentorship that can have some incredible results in the company's objectives and culture as a whole. So
I love that. Thank you for sharing. And I just want to chime in with my background of years doing this. You look at different assessment tools that you take, and mine will always show something about my need for relationships and collaboration, like being with other people. And I think sometimes we're wired that way and sometimes we're not, but whether you aren't, it's so important to have people around you. You mentioned mentorship. And what is mentorship? It's knowledge transfer. You know, my experiences versus someone else's experiences, we've had different experiences and what we've learned, and to be able to have people in our lives that like help us shortcut and we help them too. You know, warning, stay away from this. It's like, thank God you told me that, you know? Just thinking too about experiences that I've had in rooms of whether it's three people or whether it's 12, the inspiration that you gain from others. And let's face it, all of us have seasons of life where we're not like the height of awesomeness, right? Like we're just not feeling the energy and the flow. And to be around other people that help to inspire us, gosh, that's just so powerful and needed. And you know, the one other thing that comes top of mind is never forget the importance of unique perspective. We're never thinking about it all the way around because we don't come from all the different ways that we could think. So different perspectives are just so important, and especially how we build the companies that you work on every day. You know, these transformational, high-impact companies, you have to have various perspectives. So let's just say that Zach and I are on the bandwagon of like, if you're not doing peer learning, do it. And you'll learn more about Achieve Engagement today in that too. You know, Zach, I'd love if you could start by, you know, kind of sharing your journey with this, you know, the journey that you've had to maybe like the first peer learning experience, if you remember that, and just the evolution of you doing peer learning yourself.
what's interesting now that I look back on my career and my life, I found myself just naturally falling into these peer learning opportunities. And now that I've better understood it and have a passion for it, I strive to create it, but also incorporate, you know, my own time into more of these communities because of like what you just said, like the opportunities for development, new innovative perspectives and ideas on situations that you're dealing with, and the power of having that mentorship and peer support and coaching and community in your life can really add so much more fulfillment and progress every single day of your life. And I think one of the earliest ones that really I remember having such an incredible impact on my life that I didn't even know was kind of happening at the time, but as I look back, was kind of like foundational to the work I'm doing today, which was really, I remember like freshman year of college, we started a club as a part of student involvement. It was called the Sporting and Leisure Club. And I think something we'll obviously talk about at some point today is like my passion for recreational activities. I grew up playing pool, bowling, and all these different kind of sports and activities. And I remember we started this club in college as more of an avenue to do these activities because we just wanted to do them. And we also didn't have much money to do them either. So this is a way to get kind of financial support from the university. But what we later learned and what formed was we attracted a very diverse group of people who were also interested in these activities. And next thing you know, I'm learning things about myself, about things that I'm passionate about in my career, opportunities to grow at the university, job opportunities. I mean, later in life, I got one of my first corporate jobs from someone in that club that I met freshman year. So you think about like all these unexpected results and impacts came from this space of just bringing peers together and creating a space where people can interact and share perspectives and ideas with each other that not only developed deeper relationships with each other that had some different results that were unintended or unexpected, but also through the development in my own skill set of having mentors and peers in my life that I can call on for coaching as I navigate the wild experiences of life that we're trying to all navigate every single day. So I think about that experience. And now that I look back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe how that happened more organically. And now that we've kind of learned a few things, we formed a couple more intentional peer groups. It's like, okay, now we can really construct this in a more productive way and bring it to life on an ongoing basis, where that one luckily happened by chance, where now we can be more intentional about it and like, okay, wow, this is how we can really unlock it at scale in different ways. But that one really always stands out as a meaningful memory of mine because of it really sparked kind of much of the work I'm doing today.
So good. And I love that you highlighted, you know, this is kind of an unexpected curveball here to talk about this, but there's so much power in it. The relationships that we build in different seasons of life or doing different initiatives, they can be carried through in such a powerful way for the rest of the journey. Even though people might not stay in your life and you're talking all the time, someone that you built a relationship with and you have trust with reaches out 5 years later because they have an opening to fill on their team and they think, gosh, I bet Zach would know and could advise me, or I'm looking for, you know, this particular need in my business and I know Zach is really good at that. You know, we cultivate relationships that it's not just for the here and now of mentorship and knowledge transfer and different perspectives and inspiration. I mean, down the road, I reflect on my life and there's people in my now that in my 20s, I was sitting at round tables with them. You know, from having a system in your life for your own growth and relationship development, peer-to-peer exchanges are just, I mean, it's just so powerful. So that could be a whole nother episode maybe sometime.
But it's so true. It is incredible to see how, I think one of the challenges why organizations or people sometimes resist forming or joining peer groups or kind of creating these type of social environments is because they're trying to anticipate and control what the outcome is going to be of like, well, if we're doing this for this result, right? And in some ways, that's really important, especially in a business context. You do have to be strategic with what you're trying to do. But there's so much of it that is unexpected and organic and just comes out of it in many different ways that you could never anticipate, like those relationships that end up paying off in crazy ways a year to 5 years from now that can show up in terms of new departments at your company or new products that are developed or just entirely new markets and opportunities that you could get into that you're not really always like able to anticipate. You can't plan for those things, but you almost have to like, you have to create the container of possibility for those things to even emerge. So if you don't do it, those possibilities will never come to life anyway. So that's kind of sometimes the challenge is being okay with the unknown, being the unknown consequences or outcomes being part of this element of peers and communities and learning.
It's a journey. And I think the key thing we're touching on that I wasn't expecting to go, you know, deeper on here is depth happens when you're regular with peers or have meaningful conversation topics that are way below the surface. And just this is what it does, is it builds depth among people that then you can take for a lifelong journey. But I think you just touched on something that's really important for us to, from a mindset to recognize, it's not about the result right now in most of these. Now, you know, you could go to a peer learning exchange and there's a topic on the table and you're going to take away some things that are going to help you. But the opportunity for things to come down the road, like this is a long play.
Yeah.
So, well, I want to dive into these specific initiatives that, you know, you do currently and that you've done in the past. It's kind of like how to activate this and like, what are these outcomes that come from these things in specific examples? So, you know, highlight specific initiatives that can be brought together at scale through peer community experiences. Let's just walk through some.
So just for some context too, for people who are listening, I tend to play in two places in my career. One of them more in the community space that involves bringing diverse stakeholders or groups together. But then the other is internally at organizations with teams and departments. And how do you start to build culture and peer-to-peer relationships and collaborations and innovations internally at a company? The funny part about this is the models and the strategies for those different groups are very similar, right? We're still talking about just creating peer-to-peer communities and exchange opportunities and relationships between people. So what I'll share is some examples between both of those worlds, but in terms of how and how we start to kind of scale these out and construct them, the models are actually very similar, which is something interesting I've learned through time as well. So on the community side, some really exciting projects that I've been working on for the last years and unlocking these things is one, a program we do every year called Wisconsin Tech Month, which is a statewide month-long initiative. And really it acts as like a stepping stone or a platform to create new innovations and progress the tech ecosystem throughout the state of Wisconsin and make it, you know, really a household name in the United States as a tech incubator and tech ecosystem. And that's one where we're bringing together people in government and talking about tech policy and advocacy. We're bringing corporations and talking about tech innovation and their role within society. We're talking about VC and the startup ecosystem and how do we build kind of that space within our ecosystem, and then all the way to education and STEM education. And what you start to see is as you create kind of these systems thinking kind of lingo and other these containers and these spaces to bring these people together and then somewhat mix together what we like to blend of like training and facilitation, but also peer-to-peer exchange and coaching, you get not only skill development within the individuals participating in these programs, but then you also facilitate the exchange of the ideas and the coaching and the dialogue around them that really fosters this energy on whatever you're trying to grow and bring it to life. So Wisconsin Tech Month is a really exciting example of that. There's another kind of community-oriented program that we run with Achieve Engagement, which is an HR people leader community. And as we all know, especially in your space at the People Forward Network, right? Like, the employee experience and cultural challenges are extremely complex and difficult to navigate. And the world of work is pretty choppy these days to kind of work within. And each one of our own cultural employee experience challenges are pretty unique and complex. There's not really a plug and play solution out there for these things. So having a community like Achieve Engagement or our Employee Experience Leadership Network is another way where we take that model where we pair training and experts and research with peer-to-peer coaching and dialogue and working sessions to workshop through and not only build our own competency on these subjects, but also workshop through and think critically through them with our other peers who are also in these situations as well. So that's a really cool kind of example of taking these complex things and being able to kind of break them down and not only skill up ourselves, but also then practice, you know, perspective sharing, innovative ideas, knowledge sharing, peer group coaching to kind of think critically through these situations so I can actually take action within my own respective roles.
You think of most things in life and we're all about designing meaningful outcomes or things that make impact. So, you know, I was thinking as you were talking about, it's really about starting with the end in mind, right? To design the best way to form these peer groups that allow for us to reach the outcomes. And so I know when we talked before, there were a few things that you had thrown out as far as like outcomes of things that can be done through these peer groups that I was like, oh, I never even thought about that before. Can you just touch on some of those just for us to kind of get a well-rounded understanding aside from, you know, many of us think I'm a founder of a company and I want to send around another group, a group of founders, other people, different perspectives, but we're all founders, right? Or in our industry, I think a lot of us think those, but you're illustrating there's so much more that we can do with these peer exchanges. What does that look like to impact the workplace?
Yeah, no. And this is actually really important because especially if you're a people leader or you're someone trying to stand up and lead these type of initiatives internally, the biggest barrier to success in anything like this is being able to communicate clearly the business impact and the desired kind of results and objectives that this type of engagement is going to have on the company. Because that's what your executives are going to be looking for, what your peers are going to be looking for is like, yeah, why are we doing this? Yes, I know relationships are important in our lives, but from a business standpoint, like really, why are we doing this? Why should we dedicate a budget towards it, right? Like that's going to be the question that your executive teams have. So this question right here is really important to be able to answer. We always align really the outcomes to two main things. It's on one end, performance and driving more results or performing at a higher level. And the other end is engagement. On the engagement side, we know that employees are looking for more exchange and peer opportunities from their organization, especially all of the research that's coming out throughout the last year, especially for millennials and Gen Z that's taking over the workplace. Mentorship opportunities, deeper relationships with their peers, a deeper relationship with their executives. All of these elements are extremely important to the work experience that they're looking for from their employer. So if you're looking to attract and retain and engage your people and keep them fulfilled and excited about working at your company, you have to start crafting these type of experiences because that's the outcomes you're going to have. You're going to have more engagement. You're going to have a higher retention percentage. You're going to have people who want to continue working with your company through the tough times, because they're getting that peer connection. So engagement's definitely one of the key elements that you're going to receive by standing these things up. Now on the performance side, this is where we get a little bit more, I guess, critical or strategic about how we actually craft the peer learning communities or the peer experiences, because you want to make sure that what they're discussing or what they're connecting over is aligned with what the company is working through, right? Or what the company is trying to achieve. So that's where having really clear ideas of like what the strategic direction is and what are the competencies and the skill sets and the things needed to accomplish that strategic direction. And then how can you craft your peer-to-peer experiences and mentorship programs or cross-functional type exchanges to align with those things? So a great example of that is really thinking about, you know, product innovation, or they're seeing a decline in customer experience and they're trying to figure out different ways to solve those issues. It's like, okay, great. Take those specific business problems and challenges that you're having, use them as prompts or subjects or themes for the peer-to-peer connections that you're driving. So if you're having a mentorship program, give your mentors enablement resources that prompt them to talk about these specific things with their mentee and workshop through them and exchange ideas on it. On the other end, if you're having employer resource groups or shadow boards or these different peer learning communities where, you know, departments or people are coming together on a monthly basis, pick themes and topics that are really aligned with your business objectives. Don't just meet to meet, right? Make it productive. Make it aligned with what you're trying to accomplish. And yes, you're getting the engagement results because you're bringing people together and they're developing deeper relationships with each other. But now you're also getting performance results that align with where the company needs to go and what you're trying to do and accomplish. So if you're constructing it in that strategic way, you're going to have really amazing results on both sides of those kind of key pillars of impact that we're looking for.
The opportunities are much longer than what we typically think. And when you think engagement, you had mentioned that's one of the main outcomes that you work on and how this helps is to drive impact on engagement. So one of our greatest levers in driving engagement at work is the relationships that we help our people build. When we have strong relationships at work with our leader or with the people that we work with, it's like, you see the statistics, people stay when they have strong relationships. It's directly correlated. Way beyond that, thinking about the business outcomes that you're working on this year. So you probably got a business strategy for this year. If you don't, that's another episode. Go listen to that for some ideas. You know, here are our goals. Here are our objectives. Okay. Well, bringing people together to solve these things together, to coincide with things that you've already done and maybe take over as the leading way that helps get those things done, I think is the challenge here. The challenge that we're putting out to people is, how are you involved in peer learning yourself as a leader? How are you offering peer learning experiences for your people? And now up and above that, how do any peer learning you do or your people do directly align with the objectives that you're working on in your business? And it's just, yeah, so much opportunity there, and all of us can get better. But I had just jotted down, like we talked about, relationship building, employee recognition, amplifying the voice of the employee, letting them be heard at the table, talent development, diversity opportunities, leadership development, internal communication movement, so many things. Like the list goes on, and I know that you could talk about that forever. Before I ask you to share a little bit more about Achieve Engagement, and I want to tee that up in here in a second, is there anything else that you want to touch on when it comes to really the why, what works, the power of, and, you know, the basic understanding of how to be thinking about cultivating more peer learning environments?
One thing that, and I know we're going to talk more about Achieve Engagement, but one thing that we preach to the HR, people leader department, for all of you that are chief of people, chief of staff, chief of culture, director of HR, people who are usually leading the charge on these type of initiatives, the mindset that we're supporting kind of a shift in terms of like how you view your role in your department is to look at it as more of an enablement resource versus the executor of these things. And I think a lot of times we're kind of looking, okay, we got to stand up the mentorship program. We got to design it, deploy it, execute it, and withhold it. Really, how you should start to be viewing these things is more about, yes, creating some of the strategy and the model, but then just flipping it into, okay, how do you enable the rest of the organization to bring this to the life and drive it? And actually make them the driver in the driver's seat. And you're more of, you know, the co-pilot, making sure you're staying in the right direction and giving them the resources to continue it and allow it to grow over time. Kind of go back to that mentorship opportunity, because I know a lot of people right now, especially in a maybe more constricted economy where you have a very limited budget for these type of engagements, mentorship programs are a great way to still foster peer connection and skill development in a virtual, like a free way. Like the only thing it costs is time between your people, right? So a lot of times what companies go is, hey, mentorship's important. Go find yourself a mentor. You know, like go reach out to people in the company and get a mentor. All right. It's important. And then that's it, right? So as an HR department or executive team or leadership team, really you're thinking about more, okay, how do we enable someone to be a mentor? How do we enable someone to find a mentor? How do we enable strategic connections between people who should have mentorship relationships between each other? you know, and back to kind of what you were kind of sharing there, how do you make sure these things are, again, strategic in nature and aligned with what you're trying to accomplish? And a lot of times too, with this example, it's saying, hey, get a mentor, go talk with each other, right? And you're just hoping that they're having strategic conversations about their work, about the business problems, about things that they're trying to grow into and contribute to the organization. A lot of times they could just be chit-chatting about who knows what, the cool restaurants in the city or whatever it might be. So how do you ensure that it is strategic? And part of that is, again, our roles as people leaders is to enable people with the resources and tools and things like that to be strategic. So it's saying, hey, we know these are your OKRs, your KPIs, your objectives. We know these are business problems that we're facing. Here's the objectives that we're trying to achieve as a business. We would love that. Not only do you talk about, you know, maybe career pathways and things that you can do to help that mentee grow in their career, but then also have these like strategic conversations. And here's some questions you can use to have that strategic conversation with each other. I think that's just so much of a gap, is like we leave so much to chance, and then we're disappointed that these things that we're investing into don't have the intended or hopeful impact because we didn't actually enable it to connect with that. So I guess some closing thoughts on that is like, yeah, how can we view our HR departments and people leader departments more as enablement hubs or resource centers for these other departments and teams and even executives to role model the way and do these things and execute them? Enable them with the toolkit, the workbooks, whatever it might be, technology, to be able to kind of really bring these things to life.
So good. That was a great last point there, is being an enablement hub to support your people's growth versus leaving it to chance. And not that anyone's necessarily doing that intentionally, but now that we've, you know, awareness is key. Now that we're talking about it, it's important. Structure is so needed. So Zach, this has been so good and it's gone so fast, and we need to transition over to our lightning round. But before we do, let's talk about Achieve Engagement. So you have amazing events that bring leaders together. Everyone that's listening, if you have not checked out an Achieve Engagement event, they are fire. They are niche sometimes. They are topic focused, or the, you know, right peers that you need to be around in a certain room. Like, they are good at bringing people together to grow and build relationships together. It's excellent. Zach, I would love for you to highlight a little bit more about maybe the events, but also what else you all do at Achieve Engagement.
Yes, you're right. Like, Achieve Engagement and this HR people leader community is a game changer for you as a leader, impacting the employee experience and your culture at your organization. So we are an enablement resource hub for all things employee experience and employee engagement. And we bring together all these diverse kind of experts, teachers, speakers, people leading research, tech companies, and then also internal practitioners, other people at other companies leading the charge on these things. We kind of bring these groups together to get really focused on specific topics of employee experience. And I know you listed them out before, like talent and leadership development, employee well-being, inclusion, belonging, employee listening strategies, employee appreciation, rewards, and recognition, things like that. Some of our key pillars. And we do virtual seminars, we do webcasts, we do in-person peer-to-peer roundtable exchange events and programs all over the United States. And then we also have a growing employee experience leadership network, which is really only for internal director, VP, executive level, you know, culture, HR leaders, and, you know, are starting to build out, you know, specific experiences and peer opportunities for that group as well. And then on top of that, we can take a lot of these insights from the field and from the community, these models, these best practices, these case studies and research, we're bringing them in-house to organizations as well. So if there's something specific that you're working on, we have the network of partners and experts and resources and different enablement kits and things like that, where we can help you stand up something, like if you're reinventing your onboarding program, or you're trying to stay on top of new employee experience trends, or you have a need for enhancing your internal communication and you're looking for an innovative way to do that. Those are type of things that we have case studies and models around that we can help implement and execute at your own company. So it's a really good mix of, you know, community-wide learning, but then also supporting, you know, more hands-on with our partners.
Yeah. And I would say, Zach, if we could link out to something where people can get on the regular update list, the email list or LinkedIn or whatever, to be able to see what's upcoming. I love seeing your upcoming and just checking my calendar and what do I want to register for? I highly recommend it. And if you're someone that's a leader, thought leader, or a company that provides, you know, services that help advance workplaces, they are great partners for that. They've been incredible partners to People Forward Network in advancing our, you know, podcasting offerings, particularly internal communication. So I will link out, stay on the radar with Zach and his team at Achieve Engagement. So first question we ask, I know it's kind of hard, but you have to pick one book. One book, favorite of all time or favorite recent read, what book is it?
I'll share two really quick. Reinventing Organizations by Frederic Laloux. It's one of my all-time favorite books around kind of the organizational consciousness of companies and the development and evolution. It's very interesting. So I love that book so much. And then I just finished, because we are planning our develop program in March, 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. Blanking on the author, but really good. Just finished it. Amazing insights on practices to be a you know, effective leader in today's world of work.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing those. We'll be adding those to our list. Okay. So your life has been different this past year. So we're partners in business, like strategic partners. So I talk to you on the other side of Zoom regularly. And when I talk with you, you're always in a different place. So tell us, how has your life changed in the past years, especially around how you work?
Yeah, that's I think one constant I've had this last year was change, right? And more specifically, change in where the heck I'm living and working from. So born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but over the last year, I've been, living a traveling lifestyle, and part of my desire for more pure communities and meeting different types of cultures and living in different types of communities really leaned into that desire. So I've been living in different environments for 2 to 3 months at a time, starting on the East Coast and North Carolina and Florida and New Orleans and Austin and different parts of the United States. And now I'm posted up in Denver, Colorado. So I'll be here for the rest of the winter season.
All right. Well, I'm excited for one day when we're in the same city and we like get to go grab a drink or food or whatever. That's going to be great. Okay, Zach. So you had mentioned earlier something about like sports. So I want to go deeper on that just real quick. How has athletics shown up in your life? It sounds like it's been loud.
Yeah, I mean, sports have always been part of my life, and more specifically playing billiards or pool and bowling. And a lot of it was actually driven from my family. My father started an organization called YABA, Youth American Bowling Association. And I remember learning about the whole purpose of that company was more about using bowling as a tool to bring people together and bring families together and bring communities together through the sport of bowling. So I remember even teaching and coaching youth bowling in middle school because I just kind of grew up in that. And then really looking back on life now, and I'm like, wow, okay, no wonder I care about community and developing relationships so much, and how powerful these activities like sports can be a bonding agent for people in their lives. And I've now learned to use other things as bonding agents, but I continue to still participate in those rec sports all the time, you know, thinking back of the Sporting Leisure Club. Yeah, it's been a huge part of my life.
That's so cool. Well, reach out to Zach if you share that commonality, or you're traveling the world in all kinds of places too, or if anything that we talked about piqued your interest. And Zach, what is the best way for people to connect?
Yeah, well, easiest is always LinkedIn. I'm very active on there. I love connecting with people. I also share a lot of our resources and programs on LinkedIn as well. So another way to stay kind of up to date. The other way is our HR People Leader community, right? We're doing tons of events and programs all the time. Most of them are free and open to anyone and everyone. So check out achieveengagement.org. If you are a internal practitioner, HR people leader, and you're looking for that peer community and to spend more time with me, check out our EX Leadership Network too, which is exleadershipnetwork.org. And you can join that way too.
So awesome. Thank you. And we're going to link to those mentions, those resources in the show notes. So look for them there, or hit up the People Forward Network to get connected with Zach or any program in any way. Zach, thanks for such a great conversation today on the power of peer-to-peer learning. many takeaways. Here's my truth you can act on. Number one, having peer learning initiatives in our lives is so important to help us learn from each other and gain a different perspective. And it's really a must for a business leader. Number two, deep relationships are built on peer exchanges, and the fruit of those relationships are harvested for years to come. Many examples of that in our conversation today. The key here is depth. Be a relationship building platform for your people and your workplace. How do you help your people build deep relationships? Peer exchanges are a great way to do that. Number three, peer-to-peer groups can yield results past learning and relationship building. So think about your business outcomes. What business outcomes are you striving for this year? Like employee recognition, amplifying the voice of the employee, talent development, leadership development, internal communications. Design your peer-to-peer exchanges to directly align with the results you're focused on in your business. And number four, structure is needed. I love Zach's term about being an enablement hub. We as leaders and our workplaces need to be a system to help our people grow and develop. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. And we talked about with mentoring, many times you get a mentor, but the success of the mentorship experience is around the process. Structure is needed to enable our people to make this stuff stick. So thanks so much, Zach, for joining me today on Gut Plus Science, y'all. We'll see you next time. We just left the world a little bit better. Now, go do something with it.